Rubus. Rubus for positive purposes is the theme of this morning, specifically talking about loans extended for rebate for interest in order to raise money for tzedakah, in order to raise money for yatomim, in order to raise money for, well, using hektish funds. That's the theme, and we'll be racing a little bit because I want to finish this as a one-week topic, our goal being still to finish Rivas by the end of October. Okay, so we begin by noting that we may have a general leniency based on Yerushalmi for taking out loans with Rivas in order to raise money for a mitzvah. Now, the wording that we're going to see is about borrowing money, but of course, once you permit borrowing, that also permits lending. The two go hand in hand, since there's an issur on either end, certainly with a d'oraisa and possibly with d'rabbanim as well. So you have to start with the Yerushalmi and Moikat, and it also appears in Sanhedrin, Perek Ben Sar Amara. The piece I brought here, simple one-liner, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lovin beribis lachaburas mitzvah ulekiddush hachodesh. He says, you borrow with ribis for chaburas mitzvah, gatherings for a mitzvah, which we generally assume is sudas mitzvah, and kiddush hachodesh. Kiddush hachodesh was not, we need to borrow money in order to be able to declare the new month, but they would have a meal in honor of Kiddush HaChodesh. That was what they did. So various achronim, including the Chachmas Adam, including the Vilna Gaon, take this as permitting ribbis for the sake of a mitzvah. And that led the Shiboli Aleket early on. He's quoted in the Magen Avram to permit borrowing with ribbis for the sake of a Shabbos meal, for the sake of a mitzvah meal. I brought you the Magen Avram there in source base. Loven beribbis letzarach suda Shabbos suda mitzvah. Even though there's a whole other discussion about whether you should borrow money in order to be able to have a Shabbos meal, right? Rabbi Akiva and Psachim, asei Shabbos lechol bal hitzarech lebrios. Nonetheless, the Magen Avram says that that you can borrow money on interest in order to be able to afford a Shabbos meal. That's not quite the same. It's not the same as borrowing money on interest in order to raise money for a mitzvah, where the ribbis is going to go towards the mitzvah. This is different. This is borrowing money in violation of ribbis in order to be able to do the mitzvah. Nonetheless, that's what we say, and note that the Magen Avram, he's not really saying it himself, he's quoting Shabbali Halakit, does not specify what kind of ribbis. Right, ribbis kitzutza d'oraisa or avak ribbis d'rabbanan. He doesn't specify. So which kind is in fact permitted here? So the Radbaz, which I brought you in source Gimel, seems to think. He believes that it's true even for ribbis kitzutza. He says sha'alta mimeni. You asked me. Imuter lomar lachavero ava lochamana kedeshatita dina letzdaka. Can you say to somebody, I will lend you unit of currency, such that you will give me back my money, but you have to give a dinar to tzedakah, much more. Tshuva. Dabar zehela marino rav yisrael b'shem atosus de'asur. Right? We've learned in the name of Tosfos that you're not allowed to do this. This Tosfos is one that we're going to have to come back to. It's a Tosfos which notes that essentially what you're doing is a third-party loan. Right? I am not allowed to say to somebody, you can pull over a table if you want to make it easier. I'm not allowed to say to somebody, I'm going to lend you money and you give ribbis to a third party. I'm also not allowed to say, I'm going to lend you money and you're going to give the ribbis to tzedakah. But he says, v'davar teimahu. He says, I'm shocked. D'halo asra tarel ribbis gimurah ba'mei halav alamalva. He says, the biblical prohibition is the borrower giving ribbis to the lender. Ma'isach lemeimar. He says, what are you going to say here? The rabbanon gazru. You're going to say that it's a gzera of the rabbanon hacha. Well, here, kevan de'ika takanta le'aniyim lo gazru. They didn't make a gzera here because it's helping out the aniyim. So in other words, he says the general prohibition against third party ribbis is a rabbanon, and they didn't make it the rabbanon when it comes to helping the aniyim. He says we're going to see the same thing when it comes to helping orphans with ribbis, as we'll discuss. And then he says, there's the bombshell, v'afilu ribbis del raisim mutter l'halvos mos shel tzedakah. He says, you could even lend out tzedakah funds for biblical ribbis. And he says, look at our Yerushalmi, which we just quoted, Moikaten ben Sarah Mora, umidelovim beribbis lasos mitzvah, koshkin l'gufa mitzvah. He says, if you can do it to borrow and pay ribbis in order to perform a mitzvah, how much more so that you can do so where the ribbis is actually going to be for the mitzvah itself, the case that we had started with. So he says certainly it's going to be okay. Then he goes into the most stuck up phrase, but if you flip that, if you go past that line, Veloven beribis stam mashma ribis shel Torah. This is a raisa that we're talking about, and go ahead, you're allowed to do it. Harelach behedya, etc. That's the position of the Radvaz. However, as noted in the Nesivos Shalom and Kufsamach Yudches Yudalid, the vast majority of authorities believe that it's only a bak ribis. No one is going to think that other than the Radvaz that ribis kitzutza is okay for this. Interesting limitation in defining tzorech mitzvah here, because the examples given in the Gemara were not your random suudas mitzvah examples, right? It was the seuda for chaburas mitzvah or kiddush hachodesh. So the Alei Tamar on the Yerushalmi, I brought it in source Dalet. I bolded the key line. Says v'atam de letzarach mitzvah derabim lo gazra banan ba'avak ribis. He says specifically because it is a public mitzvah that we are talking about. It wouldn't just be for any tzarach mitzvah according to the Alei Tamar. Sorry? Yes.
Every mitzvah of the rabbis, and not only seuda, like every mitzvah that's excluding the rabbis.
Right, so this actually gets into a very interesting question that I didn't dive into, but if you want, I give you my armakomos on it, which is do we define tzarchei tzibur in general as tzarech mitzvah? We do that for certain issues, like missing davening, for example, missing tefillah, where the minyan. Or missing the tefillah altogether, there's discussion about tzarchei rabbim automatically being tzarech mitzvah. But here, if you look in the Ramah in Kuf Samach Chaf Beis, as well as in Kuf Samach Ches, Kuf Samach Tes, that hybrid simon, Yud Zayin, the Taz in Kuf Samach Tes Chaf Beis, the Bris Yehuda in Perek Zayin, Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis, and the Nesiva Shalom in Kuf Samach Tes, Yud Zayin, Yud to Yud Aleph. Those are all on this issue of ribis for communal needs and what qualifies and what the role is of the person who's taking care of the community's needs. There's a lot more to say on it. However, I have to note that other achronim, not the Chachmas Adam, not the Gra, not the ones we've just mentioned, think that you're all reading the Yerushalmi wrong. They take the Yerushalmi to say that actually the way to read it is you're borrowing from a non-Jew. Lovin beribis me'achum for the sake of these meals. To which you'll then say, what was the point? Why did you need to tell me that? Of course you can borrow ribis from a non-Jew. What's the problem? The answer is to show you how important these causes are. It's so important that you have this meal that we even think that you should borrow for ribis, even though that's financially destructive. That's the way that they read the line. The Darchei Chiva in Kuf Samach Kuf Nun Vav says that this is so. It's brought in the Prima Gadim. Sorry, I couldn't resist. The Prima Gadim Reish Rem Beis Beis. The Yolam Yomar Adam Blush Rabbo. And the Machzor Shekel and Reish Mem Beis Beis, I brought it for you in source Hay. Lovin beribis, hayinu migoy. Avosuvaso, afilu miyisro, mumar asar, kiyin letzarech pikuach nefesh. What the mumar discussion is for another shir, but that's the idea. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Mem Beis Beis says that as well. He says, this is not a heter for you to borrow ribis for a mitzvah as a global thing. So that's a machlokas acharonim. Are you allowed to borrow ribis dirabanan for the sake of being able to do a mitzvah? However, where this becomes a much more interesting discussion is when you get to the realm of the Yisomim, when you get to the realm of orphans, because here you actually have a Gemara in the Bavli that talks about lending out the money of Yisomim for ribis in order to help the Yisomim, and it comes in two parts in Bav Mitzia Ayin Amad Aleph. I gave you the first part in Source Vav. Amar of Anan Amar Shmuel, Moshel Yisomim Mutter Lahavosin Beribis. You're allowed to lend out orphan money for ribis. Amar Le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Mishum Diyas Meininu Safinu Lahu Yisura. What, we should give them Yisurim because they're orphans? That's what you're trying to tell me? Yeah, they don't know any better. Go ahead. The Yasmi Da'achli Da'labdidhu Leiz Lebasar Shevkayu. Very strong. He says, Yisomim who eat that which is not theirs should go with the one who left them behind. So, Amar Lei, Emily is a gufodu of the Echavas. He says, tell me exactly what the story was. Where did you exactly deduce that this is okay? And he goes through the story and he tries to show him, no, that wasn't actually a ribis case at all. But Ravanan, quoting Shmuel, says ribis is mutter. He doesn't say avak ribis. He says ribis, which we assume means ribis kitzutza. We're talking bona fide biblical ribis. What would be the heter? Before we come around and say, no, you can't do that, what would be the heter? So the Rashba explains what Rav Hanan was thinking. Sur Zion. Near the Rabbanan Yasav, where Shemuter Lavos and Afilu Beribis Ketzut. So why? Lefisha Apotropus Eino Notel Beribis. Because the Apotropus isn't taking Ribis. Meaning, essentially, the.
He's not enjoying the Ribis.
He's not violating anything.
Right.
Right? He's not violating anything. It's not his money. You can come here. Pesach, we left it open. The Yisomim Einan Mechuyavin B'mitzvos. He says, as far as the Yisomim, we're assuming right now they are not obligated to mitzvos, i.e. they are minors. We're going to come back to that. But the assumption is that the Yisomim are not obligated in mitzvos. And Gamhim Ba'atzvam Einan Malvin, and they're not lending it out anyway. Kedei Shenom are based in mitzvah Lahafrishan, such that we should say that based in would have some mitzvah of separating them from the Yisr. Afilu different Misha Omer, Katan Ochel Nevelas, based in mitzvah Lahafrishan. Even if you say that a minor who is eating trade has to be separated from it. Beis Din has an obligation at any rate to stop him from doing so if his parents don't. There's no relevance for that here because they're not doing anything wrong. He says, we do have an idea that if they are eating something inappropriate, you are considered liable for giving them something inappropriate. However, here, they didn't do anything. The money is being taken care of. It's being administered by the apotropos. They don't even have the, they don't sign anything. They don't get involved. He may not even ask them about doing it. So the Rashba says that's Rav Hanan's logic.
How's that differ, though, in essence, from third party interest? I mean, what's the logic is?
Well, it's not third party. There are only two parties involved.
No, there's the lender. There's the apotropos who is, we're saying he's not a party because he's not partaking, he's not enjoying anything, but he's the one who's actively lending the money.
But he's not.
Why not?
Because it's not his.
100%, but if I you're saying that because the money to begin with isn't his.
Correct. No money has gone through his hands, except that he's a delivery truck.
Right.
Yeah, the delivery truck is not an agent in the loan. It's a funny thing. We're giving him no standing whatsoever. And in fact, according to
the Maharil gives him a lot of standing afterwards.
And we have to come back to that. You are 100% right. The Rav Nachman actually agrees technically, according to the Rashba's read, that this is mutter. However, there's the possibility of bringing down divine punishment on the Yisomim, and therefore he thinks this is a bad idea. There is something inherently, karmically, if you will, wrong with Rivis, and even if you didn't break the law, it's a very bad thing to be involved with. Now, the question has to go the other way. Even if the lender didn't violate an Isser, because the Yisomim are minors, and the Apotropos wasn't involved, isn't there an Isser on borrowers? Borrowers are not allowed to borrow with Rivis. So Tosas asks that question and gives two answers in Source Ches. He says, first, his first answer is, you're right. And it could have asked this. However, it's going to ask other questions instead of, why are you giving them Isurim? This is going to be bad for them. And then his second answer is, it's okay. Why? Because you're only in violation as a borrower if there was an Isur for the lender. If there's no Isur for the lender, there's no Isur for the borrower. Jerry.
When we're talking about Yisomim in here, we're not talking about an individual Yasam, right?
Could be.
It seems to be that we're talking about the idea of Yisomi. So perhaps that's different than an individual.
What do you mean? What do you mean by the idea of
the center that we're talking about here is for Yisomi in general, that group in Israel called Yisomi. It's not for the Yasam. Individual Yosef.
I'm missing.
No, it sounds like it's just a family of more than one child.
It's almost like when we were studying about with Esther and Yael.
Yeah.
It's like saving a big part of Israel as opposed to one individual.
But this would apply just as well to a case in which there is one Yosef whose money is being lent out. It's not about saving the clown.
There's much more room for a violation if it's more global.
I'll tell you this. If you were to take the view of that Yerushalmi, that we're talking Tzorech Mitzvah, or an idea that we're going to come back to with the Maharil, the idea that this is a chesed and therefore we're allowing it, then I think there might be room to make that statement. But as the Rashba reads Rav Hanan, this is a very technical point. In the absence of a malveh, this is okay. That's what he. That if you could come up with another case that wasn't a yasum case in which there is no malveh, and we'll come up with one later, then it would be just as mutter. Nonetheless, we don't follow Rav Hanan lahalacha. Rav Hanan it gets tossed. Instead, yeah.
Then what is the difference? It's not here to me. It's like I don't know, like a charity thing that I don't know. Someone has
so the money. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Once we're done with the Yitomim, we're going to deal with the Tzedakah issue, because you're right, and some are going to make the connection.
Yeah, if you said that the apotropos doesn't have a connection, like he's only the truck,
right.
Then you can say that about, no, you don't need the Yitomim, because
it's... Gabay Tzedakah. Nachon. Listen again.
Even maybe in the back. Like I don't know exactly what they do like with my money. I give them my money to keep, to give interest to something.
Him balei hakesef, him halovim. Ze lo pigadon, ze alva.
Okay.
Yeah. The aval let me get in shas tzedakah. That's a dick. Gam kenya. Well, said it. Yeah.
And this also seems to relate to our discussions earlier of whether the loveh is just a
correct.
The issue of the loveh is a daraisa lifnei iver of the malveh or an independent right. Nisr.
Correct. And the ritual likes this idea, which isn't a surprise.
I don't remember if I put that on the source sheet or not.
How can this? Stockbroker,
just be a
like
a.
How can that be considered
halva
if he loses it,
he has nothing
paid off back? I
mean,
it seems to be he's just using your money, like your own initially.
I'm sorry, I'm not talking about. Talking about
kovah sachar rachov mehesed.
No, but you're throwing in investment now.
Yeah.
In an investment case, you can lose your money.
Fine, even if it's not an investment, even if you're getting into the lending business.
Correct.
But you have no idea what you're doing.
Yes.
You're a second year student at the University of Toronto, so you get some guy to do it for you.
Yes.
And you give him your money and say, here. And so you lend my money out for me.
Right. So then he's my shaliach.
And that's it.
And that's a problem.
Okay.
But here, the Yisomim are not B'nai Shlichus. They can't.
That's why you're still alive.
Oh, that's why you are, and not
him. No, that would make him liable. Asher Levaro would make him liable.
Even though technically it's not his money.
Correct. Asher Levaro could make him liable, but again, there's no Isser here, because there is no Malva of standing, and Asher Levaro doesn't make him a Malva.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's the idea. But again, you forget Rav Hanan, because we don't follow him. What we do have a discussion for real about is Rabbi Bar Shila, who's further down the Amud on Ayin Amud Aleph. If you take a look at source test, Omar Rabbi Bar Shila, Omar Rav Chista, Va'amri Lomar Rabbi Bar Yosef, Bar Choma, Omar Rav Sheshes, Mosh al Yisomim, Mutter Lahalvosan, Karov Lasacha, Varachok Lahefzid. He says, you are allowed to lend out money of the Yisomim, Karov Lasacha Rachok Lahefzit. So this requires that we have a little bit of a conversation about something we've talked about before. The definition of a loan in which you are liable, Mide Oraisa, is where the money is guaranteed. It's a loan. I am getting, the lender is getting the money back. No matter, there's no such thing as no matter what. Hypothetically, the borrower dies and there's no money in the estate and there are no heirs or whatever it is, good luck. However, in concept, it is protected. When it comes to an investment, there's no protection. You recognize that, you could lose your money. An investment.
Wait.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if your loan isn't protected,
The definition of a loan is that it is protected.
Not if it's not a secured or guaranteed loan. I can lend you money, and then you can't. You don't have the resources to pay
then,
it back.
But then I have a debt to you, and anything that I get is now
100%. But even if you're in Mev Esrim, you're an estate, and there's nowhere to collect from.
It's beyond Mev Esrim. Right. No, but that's
correct. And the value goes down, your equity goes down.
100%, but that doesn't mean that I'm protected. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that the definition of the transaction is that no matter what, you have to pay me back.
Correct.
You are going to.
Correct. Correct. Whereas when you're dealing with a hashka, you're dealing with an investment. If the investment loses money, it's the way it goes. So the closer an investment comes to being a loan, because there is protection for the investor such he doesn't lose his original investment, the more of a problem we run into. And that creates a ribbis derabbanan issue, which we call karov lasacha rachok lahefsid, meaning it is more likely that you will profit, it is less likely that you will lose. The greater the protection for the investor, the more he becomes a lender. And Rabbi Bar Shila says, I understand the problem with such a deal. However, if it's money of Yisomin, I'm good with it. That's a particular type of ribbis derabbanan. It is not all cases of ribbis derabbanan. It's a particular type of ribbis derabbanan. So the Rambam, and Malva Velova Dalad Yudalad, I brought it for you in source Yud, says, Nichsa Yisama Mutalita Nosam La'adam Neman Shiesh L'Nachasim Tovim, and that's part of protecting the Yisomim, that you have to give it to a Neman who has good assets, and it's in the Gemara itself that they talk about that, but it's a separate point. Karov L'Sachar Rachok L'Hesed, and you can do it under terms that indeed favor his reward and decrease the likelihood of his loss, and he gives you language to deal with such a case. And he says, why? After the language that he gives you, Sheze avak ribisu, because it's avak ribis, v'chol avak ribis eina asur alimidivrehem, uvenichsa yisomim lo kazru. He says, this is simply a matter of, we didn't make a gezerah for the yisomim, and this is a derabbanan thing. Now, when you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yud Aleph, he writes, kol ribis derabbanan. He didn't even bother with Karav l'sach harachuk lahesed. Kol ribbis derabbanan, mutter b'mal shal yisomim, o shal hekdesh aniyim, o talmud Torah, tzach pesach nesis, all these other stuff of cases which we're going to have to come back to. Any derabbanan, and the Rama writes, v'chein noagin lahakel, we are lenient. Afagav, yesh machmir and deino mutter rak with beis din. Some only permit in beis din, we're going to come back to that point. And then he says, Yesh Makomo Shinoakim Shapatrobus Mava Mosi some ribis kitsutsa. Some people will allow bona fide ribis. Uminak tosu veilach achram, so there, don't you dare. Vachol apotrobashaosakane, ayin choshin mishpatim nifsal. Abu Baribis de Rabbanan, Shari calls Manchel Higdalayasam Lasak Ma'osav Gdar Sharanashim. I'm going to talk about the rest of that. We're not there yet. But he says, any Ribis de Rabbanan is okay. The Shach in Kusamach Lavav, Yud Beis, on Vachin Noagin says, Vachomachomashayisi, Loraisi Minogze. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen this. Vagam Chakarti Vidarashti, Veloshamati Shinogin Kin. I've never heard of anybody doing it. I don't know why. Maybe he didn't have a Bar Ilan. But I've seen all sorts of Shuvos in which they're doing this. Everyone is saying, the Shach is coming. He thinks no one does this. The Bris Yehuda in Perek Zayin Ha'arad Dalet says that the Shach may think it's not done, but the Achronim all say we do it. I didn't analyze to see which geographic locations it were, right, it was, no, and at what century they were doing it. Yeah, Adam, you were going to say? So what's the rationale for permitting this? The first rationale for permitting it is brought by the Maharil. The Maharil writes in Source Yud Gimel, V'od, the Yeshmer Abbasinu, the Tiru Lahavos Staka Beribis, the broader Staka discussion, Mehid Yushalmi, Lovin Beribis, Lachaburis Mitzvah, Lakirish HaChodesh, the Kasav HaAguda, early Ashkenaz, Demehai Taima, Shema Noagu Lahavos, Amakomo Shabes Hakneses, Valeshe Valeya. Maybe that's why they allow the practice of using your seat in Shul as collateral, but the lender is allowed to sit in that seat. And he somehow construes this as halval l'tzarech mitzvah. I am not entirely clear about how this exactly is halval l'tzarech mitzvah either, unless it's the shul that's doing it, but that's not what it sounds like. V'achanami ein l'cha mitzvah gedola me'av gadol yasom. He says, what mitzvah is greater than raising an orphan? Right? K'dileel. Earlier in his discussion in this tshuva. V'tzidkaso omedes la'ad. V'shema mikan ispashtem enosh shema v'nechse yasomim v'ribis ketzutza. So maybe that's where it comes from. D'chol in yana yasomim chashvinon lei dvar mitzvah. That could be why this is mutter. It's really just a subtopic within Dvar Mitzvah in general. That's the position of the Maharil. Rashi explained that that's not the rationale, but rather that the Gezerah was not made for them in Source Yud Dalet. He says on this Karav L'Sachar in the Gemara, he says, Lav Ribis Mamashu, Elavak Ribis Umidirabanan Ubiyasmi Lo Gazur. They didn't make the Gezerah for Yisomim. Why? Shalo Yichlu Mausem, because we don't want their money to run out. Lachilam pruta achar pruta, as we feed them out of this money, it's all going to be gone. You need a way for them to make some money. The way for them to make some money is via ribbis. Of course, Rashi, and I guess the Maharil as well, you could really make the argument then that this is about any ribbis derabbanan. It's not just karav l'sachar rachuk lahefsed. The rabbanan didn't make any gezerah. However, there is this other point about the need for a Beis Din. The truth of the matter is that we did see a reference in the Ramah already, but there's a shita of the of Rashi and the Mordechai that the Gemara actually wants you to do it with a Beis Din in particular. I'm just looking at the part that I brought here, and I didn't bring it here on the page. So that's my mistake. I should have brought it. But if you read further along in the Gemara on Ayin Abad Aleph, the Gemara actually says that you do this bibeidina. It's done in a Beis Din. So the question is, why do you need a Beis Din? So the view of Rashi and the view of the Mordechai is that you need a Beis Din because of the ribbis. What's going on? So the Alei Tamar on the Yerushalmi explains in Source Tezvav. Actually, yes, so it says, Vavatam de Litzarach mitzvah de Rabban lo gazra banim bavagribis, O Shahumi Tam Hefker Beis Din Hefker. The idea is that the Beis Din is actually being mafkir, the mammon. They're canceling out the ownership of the money by the lender, by the borrower, and transferring it to the Yisomim.
Just the context, what is the question that the Tam is, the Litzorach Mitzalo Gazru, O Mitam Hefker Beis Din Hefker? What was the question?
You're on...
I'm right now the Eli Tamar type of what you just read.
He's commenting on the Sudas Mitzvah case. He's going back to the... This is the Alei Tamar on that Tzidus Mitzvah and Moed Katan that we talked about.
I thought you were saying that it was related to our need to do it through Beis Din.
Well, it is. I mean, when he says, Oshun Bitam Hefker Beis Din Hefker, he's referring you to the Beis Yosef quote in the Mordechai who says that these things have to be done in Beis Din.
Uh-huh. So the reason why we're allowed to... Is because you're saying lo gazru mitzvah derabban lo gazru rabbanu ba'avak zuribid
or hefker Beis Din Hefker
of a technical we're correct. Doing it in a Beis Din and therefore hefker Beis Din Hefker.
Well, we're doing
which is basically saying that the hefker Beis Din Hefker aspect is a way of machshuring ribid derabbanan in certain circumstances.
Yes,
even though right now.
Theoretically, it should work even for a deraisa. It's just that we don't want to do it.
I read it as the first half would only allow for Drabbanan, but Hefker Beis Din Hefker should apply
yes.
for
right. Court. I mean, the answer would be they have license to do this even for a Viskitsutsa, however, they don't want to. And the Rashi that he's quoting is in Source Tezayin. When the Gemara says, Bibedina, he says, Bifnei Beis Din, Shiesham Koch, Lahakir, Nichse Hamakabel, Eitel HaYisomen. Right? They have the ability to render the borrower's money hefker to the Yisomim, which is clearly a Derabbanan case. Worth noting, just as an oddity, the Mishnah Lamelech has this very, very long discussion about this whole issue. We're going to refer to him a whole bunch of times. But the Mishnah Lamelech actually words it the other way. In Source Yud Zayin, he quotes Rashi, which is kind of funny. The way he reads it is that it's not a problem of hefker because of ribis because he takes the Yisomim's money, gives it to the Makabel as a gift, saying it's now hefker, the Yisomim don't own it, and therefore, what the Makabel is doing, the borrower is doing, is he's going to get a tax write-off. He's giving tzedakah to the Yisomim. It's not a loan anymore. It's found money. It's a very funny way to read this. That's what the Mishnah Melech says. Okay. It's a very interesting way to look at it.
It works better than saying, oh, the ribbis is hefker. It's like, oh, I'm giving you back, I borrowed $100, I'm giving you back $100, and the Beis Din is giving you back $20.
as opposed to the loan from the actual interest.
It's a very interesting way to do it, that's for sure. It's funny, by the way, that Rashi brings the Hefker idea here on Beis Din, because Rashi also said on the same daf that we assume the Gezerah wasn't made for them. Rashi is bringing you both elements of Hefker here. But in any case, not everybody believes that that's why you have the Beis Din involved. It's not about Hefker Beis Din at all.
Provide a possibility to do it with the Raisa.
Yes, correct. But then I don't know why you needed to say anything about not making the Gzera for them. But not everybody thinks this is why you have the Beis Din involved. The Rush writes, and the Rosh writes, I didn't bring it on the sheet, I got tired of cutting and pasting. But on our Gemara and Davayin, the Rush says the reason for a Beis Din is to intimidate the borrower, lest he later deny the loan. That's our reason for involving it's about protecting the Yisoma. It has nothing to do with interest. And the Rashba says something which we find in Dine Apotropos, which is to ensure that the loan is in the best interest of the Yisoma, meaning we have a guardian who's taking care of the property of the Yisoma. What if he does bad investing? What if it's, you know, the stock market crashes? Someone's got to be reviewing what he does. That's the job of the Beis Din, according to the Rashba.
That's
the
Rebbe.
זה בכלל לא שייך לעניין של ריבית.
כמו שאני אומר,
אז למה דווקא ריבית
צריך
את הבית דין? לא, נכון, והרשב"א אומר, כל עסקה שלו, וזה רק מובא שם בדף עין בתור הלשון של איך הוא מלווה את הכסף של היתומים.
Well, that's the law today also.
Right, maybe.
In Israel,
actually did a,
Israel apotropos has to report to court.
Got it.
Unless specifically appointed by the parents and so on, right. But I'm saying like...
Right, so I did a legal seminar on this topic of what the guardians do, and I understand that here it's a little bit more complicated than a binary thing, in terms of when they need to report or when they don't need to report. Their work, I think, is more... Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, but I think that I can say whatever I like. I think it's more subject to review. Then it, you know, he has to bring the books and all that. But retroactively, not that he needs to proactively go to the base.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. There is a discussion about it in Shulchan Aruch also. The Ramah talks about having him review at the end of the term of his guardianship all the things that he did in order to demonstrate that it's all on the up and up. There's more to say. If you want, I can give you.
Interesting.
Yeah. But that's the view that this is all for a derabbanan. But honestly, the view that Beis Din is involved because it's an orphan's money seems to be the more correct view, just in the Gemara itself. Because Rabbi Yosef, in that same Gemara, has them use a Beis Din when feeding the Yisomim from their assets. In other words, you want to sell off property of the Yisomim for them, you also need a Beis Din. It has nothing to do with Ribbis whatsoever. It really seems like a better read. In terms of this Yasom question, we seem to be assuming that we're talking about minors. Right, especially with the discussion about them being potter and therefore not, you know, therefore you can do whatever you like. But the Ramah's language that we saw, which is already seen in the Beis Yosef, quoting the Tumas Hadeshen, is as long as he's not old enough to know how to manage the business, you're allowed to do this on his behalf. And the Bris Yehuda and the Taras Ribis both bring this as halacha. The Vilna Gaon cites the Ma'aril to disagree. The Vilna Gaon, Abraham Yudches, quotes the Ma'aril, that same Ma'aril in Lamed Zayin, Kasa B'Shemri, the Chol Acha Yegimel Ein Lo Din Yasom. Sha'azu Gadol. He's not a Yasom anymore. Now he's a Gadol. Apparently the two terms are antithetical. And the Gras seems to side with the Ma'aril. The idea that adults will be excluded, assuming they're adults with capacity, that they have the general ability to function, the idea that they would be excluded from this benefit is actually consistent with the way we deal with apotropos. Because Beis Din does not have a mandate to appoint an apotropos for adults who have capacity. Where is the show that it's on others?
The opinion of the Gra, as opposed to the
correct.
Ramah.
So I think that would be consistent.
What would the logic of the Ramah be? Because basically, based on the Ramah, on the Gra's explanation of it, disagreement, you're basically saying the second you become a Gadol, then you are subject to the rules of Ribit just like any other adult, whereas the Shulchan, the Ramah here, seems to be saying once you become a gadol, because ho'il v'lo yigil l'klal dat nikrei yatom le'inyan zeh, and then you.
I think his argument would be that turning 13 doesn't change anything in terms of your financial standing.
So, but if you're not a yatom and you turn 13, you know, all of a sudden.
No, but you're not. I mean, what? You are in the sense that you're an adult, but there's nothing that changes in terms of if he engages in a transaction with somebody else, and then afterwards the argument is he didn't know what he was doing. That argument will still hold water,
even if he's not a yatom, even if he's 13. Even not a yatom older than 13, that argument will still hold water.
I believe so. I have to go back and take a look to say that. You know,
so then this isn't special. Basically, what you're saying is the mikre yatom le'inyan zeh is not specific to Mikre Yatom, it's specific to anybody. It's any 13-year-old.
Correct.
So the language of Mikre Yatom is superfluous.
The language of Mikre Yatom.
What makes this din special? I thought you were saying something.
You're talking about who? I'm
looking at the Makor Yud Aleph. As opposed
to going back to the Ramah's language.
Right.
I think he's saying, because he wants to be clear, because he knows that not everybody's going to agree. That would be my sense of it. I think because he knows, and it's they say quoting the Trumas Hadeshin, so you'd have to really go back to the Trumas Hadeshin.
I would, no, but it's interesting because assuming that that's not you, and that if I can go back and say that I'm 13, I'm not a Yotam, I'm engaged in a transaction which retroactively turns out to have been wrong.
Right.
I won't be held liable if I can prove I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, assuming I had capacity.
Right.
Then that doesn't put a Yotam in a specific special category. And then when the, right, you understand? Maybe I'm making a big thing out of nothing, but I thought that was interesting.
I mean, the Yasam is in a special category.
No, he's not, but if you're saying that the Gura saying, my real Katab B'Shem Ri, the Kol Achar Yud Gimel Ein Lo Din Yasam Shaz Gadohu, sorry, no, I think I'm in the wrong place. There are two opinions here. One says once he hits 13, doesn't
That's
count.
That's it, correct.
That's it. And the other one says because he's a yatom, even though he hits 13, he still has this special.
Well, that's for separate. No, one view is the yatom, as long as he doesn't have the ability to deal with financial things, is protected in this regard, in the sense that the apotropos can take care of his stuff
and
with ribis.
And lend the 3B.
Correct. That's one view.
Right.
The other view says that stops at 13. Even though he's still entitled to an apotropos.
Right.
And even though we don't want him handling his own affairs.
Right.
Nonetheless, the heter stops when he turns 13.
Because as soon as he's 13, he's a gadol.
Yes. Even though there's no business logic to it.
Right. No, 100%. Yeah. But if he's 13, a gadol, engages in a business transaction, which turns out subsequently
to be a decision.
Then you're saying that's a completely different category, basically, of why he might not be liable.
I guess so.
Okay.
Are there limits? As in, we keep saying 13 to describe Gadol, but what if we're talking about a 4-year-old? As in, Gadol doesn't specify if you just became a Gadol.
Right, so I thought we usually say 20 for land deals, but I didn't look into it for this year, so I'd have to recheck before I said that. The other piece of this is, what about a minor who has parents, but the parents aren't looking after his funds? So there, the Taz and the Shach say it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We feel bad for him, but that we don't do. We're not going to get the parents off of the hook, by letting them lend out their money for ribis, or letting somebody lend out money for ribis.
And let the var sof then also.
I suspect so. Even an almana, the Taz and the Shach say we won't do it. For a shota, though, we would. For someone who absolutely lacks capacity, the Gidulei Truma says it is mutter, and the Mishnah Lamelech adds Cheresh as well. The Mishnah Lamelech I brought you here on the sheet. It's because of time, I'm not going to go into it, but you have to really see the Mishnah Lamelech in Yates at some point. I thought it was fascinating from a methodological perspective. He goes into a discussion about where we do and do not say Milsat Lo Shchiach Lo Gazru Be'Rabanan. Where do we actually apply that? I thought it was a very interesting piece, and it's longer than what I brought here, but I brought you a piece of it. It's kedai to take a look at. In practice, as seen in the Shulchan Aruch already, we permit avak ribis like Rabba Bar Shila. However, which avak ribis do we permit? Right? Is it only Karla Saharach Lehefsid? Is it all avak ribis? So some say all avak ribis is fine, except ribis mi'ucheres. Not ribis milcheres, because remember what ribis milcheres is. That's going to be my shiur on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But ribis milcheres, we've seen it already a bunch of times in the shiurim, is ribis which was not set up and stipulated at the start at all, but later on the borrower is going to give the lender a gift. The borrower says, I have to give the lender a gift, whether it's at the time of payment, after the time of payment, whatever. That's a whole other discussion. But the point is, it wasn't in the calculation from the beginning. And so the Mishnah Lamelech writes in Source Chaf, Odai Anira Li Lachalik Valomar Shakolavak Ribis Shem Hayu Nosnin Oso Betchilas Halva Haya Ribis Kitsutza. Any avak ribis which, if had been given in the beginning, would be called ribis kitsutza. Ve'ino avak elamishum shalom husna. The only reason it's avak is because it wasn't in the condition and at the outset. In other words, this is ribis milcheres lo hutter li yisomim. That's no good for the yisomim. Why? comes up with a very interesting idea. Sharei kol asmo shel heter davak ribis legabe yisomim eino ela ki hechi delo nechlinu zuza zuza. He says the point of permitting this is because we don't want their money to run out. And that's why we let you do avak ribis. Avo kol ribis she'en ani yechol mahasnos ala lefishu ketsutza v'lo huter legabe yisomim av shelo hisnu lo itiru lefishu ein ba'adu zed tikun li yisomim ki hechad lo nechlinu zuza zuza sharei einam yechol mahasnos b'zeh. He says, anytime you're talking about a ribis which they could not have stipulated because it would be ketsutza, right? And it was not permitted for the yisomim, the under ketsutza heading, then even if they don't make the condition, it is not going to be permitted under the banner of Ribbis Milcheres. Let me say this a little bit differently, outside of the words of the Mishnah LeMelech. He says the point is that the heter is to look after their funds. Right? That's the point of allowing this Ribbis deal. Here, it's not looking after their funds. Because when you lend out the money, you don't know that this is coming. Right? The whole point of Ribbis Mucheres is it's a gift that comes along later. We're going to allow you to do Karla Sacha Racha Klehefsid, in which you are clearly from the outset giving them a loan, which giving their money as a loan, which is going to be on favorable terms for them. They're going to benefit. But you can't just say, here's a loan of $1,000 from them, pay us back $1,000 a year from now, on the expectation that they're going to give you an extra gift of $100 at some point in the future. That makes no sense, says the Mishnah LeMelech. The Nesiva Shalom thought that was a really novel argument in Kuf Samach Yuches Beis Gimel. I didn't put it on the sheet. He feels that it's a novel argument, and he says the Knesset HaGedola on the tour Kuf Samach Nun Beis, the Ma'arit, Beis and Memhei do not agree, and others as well. Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't agree. They do not. It's a great idea. It makes sense when he says it. But it's not correct. And if you take a look, I actually did bring you Rabbi Kiva Eger in Chaf Aleph. He says, "Al pi mashim teka mishal amelach dvarav disvaras chidoi hu de b'shocharach sasmu de chol avak ribis itiru v'lo chilku." He says it's a nice idea of the mishal amelach, but no one agrees with him. It's his take, and the Shulchan Aruch is clearly not on board. Rabbi Kiva Eger is not buying it. Others, though, will limit the permission to the Gemara's case of Karav Lasacha Racha Klehefsit, because that's the case that the Gemara brought. The Rambam, we already saw, seemed to indicate any Avak Ribbis is fine. The Shulchan Aruch certainly said any Avak Ribbis is fine. The Rambam's language, I thought, was hedging. But the Rashba says that the limitation makes sense.
The Rambam you're saying is kol avak ribis?
If you look at the end of the Rambam's language,
true, but she's saying that as an explanation.
Like I said, it's unclear. Yeah. Right, it's unclear to me. But the bless you. But the Rashba says that limitation makes a lot of sense in Source Chav Beis. He says, "Ubavadei adas machras sheyesh hefresh min karav l'sachar achak lehefsid l'shari suri b'ster rabbanan." Why? Mishum dekarav l'sachar kil tfei mipnei shekeren hayisomim miyuchad v'arei kepikadon etzel makabel. He says, "I like karav l'sachar achak lehefsid because in a case like that, the orphan's money is sitting on its own. It looks like a pikadon. You gave it to the recipient to guard." Right, and to return to them ultimately. Vein mekavlin revach elimineubei are revach mamash nimtza b'moseyim. He says that any profit they receive comes from their money. There's a separate account. It says yisomim money, and it grows, and then it comes back to them. But it looks like it was just their money that happened to benefit and grow while it was in his possession. Lo mikisa mekabel. It's not coming from the borrower. And he says, "I'll prove to you that that's the point, because they only permit karav l'sachar rach lehesed and not other forms of ribis." So the argument of the Rashba is in fact just karav l'sachar rach lehesed, but again, in practice, the Shulchan Aruch very clearly permitted all avak ribis for the yisomim. So what we've seen so far is we have this overall possible heter to raise money for a mitzvah, if I assume the Yerushalmi is talking about that, which the Radvaz thinks is Ribbis Ketsutza, but everybody else thinks is Ribbis Derabbanan, if it's even talking about, you know, Ribbis at all. More substantively, you have Gemara Bav Mitziah and Amar Aleph, which first floats the idea of Ribbis Ketsutza. We dump the idea of Ribbis Ketsutza of Rabbanan, but does have Ribbis Derabbanan being permitted, and the rationale being either Tzarech Mitzvah like the Yerushalmi, or because the Gezerah doesn't apply to them, like Rashi, or Hefker Beis Din, if I assume that Beis Din is really on their behalf, and then we have the little questions of, so who exactly is a Yasam, and will we permit all of Akribis or not? That brings us to the third part of this, which is the major part, which I may just have to record the audio for and send it out, because we're not going to finish within our hour. That's okay. But that is the issue of the Gabbai lending out Staka funds for Ribbis in order to increase the Staka funds. Now, what we're talking about here, to make a very long story very short, is money that has already been given to the Gabbai Staka. If you want to really get a headache, you can read the Mishnah Lamelech, Dalid Yud Dalid, who has a very long discussion about this that I did not bother to include on the sheet. But that's where that's home for this discussion. We're talking about money that has already been given to the Gabbai Staka, because if the money is still with the donor, right, the donor pledged a certain amount for Staka, and then he says, I'm going to lend that money to Pesach. And Pesach, your job is going to be to give ribbis to Staka. That would be like that Tosos we already referred to of the third party ribbis. Right, where I lend somebody money and tell them you should give to somebody else. So that's not what we're talking about. The money has been given to the Gabbai already. What is the basis for permitting this? So, good news. We have three different heterim for this. Heter number one is already seen in the Maharil, but the Tor brings it as well at the end of Kufsamach and Source Chav Gimel. Umash Yisom Mutter Lavos and Kav Lasachar Rochag Lehafsid Perush Shemiyah Reba Shil Chaku Beneim Vimi Hasid Shia Kol Makabel. Great, nice definition of Kav Lasachar. That's his position, which we've already seen. But then he says, he says, in all of these cases, money that has been dedicated is fine, just like Yasom money. In other words, what it's really about is Tzarech Mitzvah. Right? Again, we saw that in the Maharil, but we see it here within the Torah. He's going to permit all of Akribis on that basis. The second approach is brought by the Mordechai from the Rosh Bamburk. The Mordechai is on Bava Metzia, but you have to see Gemara and Bava Kama first. Source Chav Dalid. Who Arnika did Staka Dasi the Pumbedisa? There was an amount of money that came to Pumbedisa for Tzedaka. Right? Somebody sent Tzedaka to Pumbedisa. Afka the Rabbi Yosef Gabehu Gavra. Rabbi Yosef gave it to somebody to keep charge of. Pashava, the guy was careless. Asu Ganve Ganvua, and thieves stole it. Chayve Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, pay up, dude. Amalei Abaye. He probably didn't say dude. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, what do you mean? Vatanya, I have a brisa that says, regarding the laws of Shmira, the Torah says, Kitei Nishalayim Kesef Okelim Lishmor. If somebody gives you something to guard, V'lo L'chalek La'aniyim, not where it's given for distribution to the needy. In other words, tzedakah funds are not subject to the laws of Shomrim. So Amar Lei, to which he responded, Rabbi Yosef responds, Aniye de Pumbedisa make its kayetz lohu, v'lishmorhu. He says, no, it is designated for the needy of Pumbedisa. The poor of Fallujah have a right to this money, and therefore it's like their money that is being guarded. It's the property of the Aniyim that is being guarded. This requires a lot of discussion, but the first stop for us is the Mordechai. Take a look at Source Cafe. Garcina Paraka Chovel, Aniye de Pumbedisa make its kayetz lahu. Right? We learned in this Gemara that we just saw in Chav Dalet that the money is designated for them. I added in the words that are in brackets. I think that's my ad. Maybe not. But the idea is that it's set for them, and therefore it's not under the laws of Hekdesh, and therefore you have all the responsibility of Shomrim. Actually, I think I didn't add those words. Alright. Avalim Haya Dino Kehekdesh. But if it had the status of Hekdesh, well, then I know the rules. Hatznam kaman shemachinam in a nishba shemesachrin a mishalim elish mamina dino kehedyot. The answer is that money is like regular people's money, not hektish money. Mikan pasach the Avi Ezri ava pisha amru perak hazav ribis veonala hedyot bein ribis veonala hektish. Even though we rule that the laws of ribis and ona do not apply to hektish, we saw this when we had the ona shiurim. Mikamakom staka o meiser aser lahavosa beribis. You're not allowed to lend out staka funds for ribis. Because it's like the property of regular people, not hektish. But then he brings you Rav Shmuel. He allowed you to lend out staka money for ribis. Right, the one about the Sudas Mitzvah. The ribis stama mashma ribis kitsutza. And the just said you're allowed to do ribis, so that means kitsutza. Midilokam or lovin karov lisacha rachok lahafzid. Kamila kaman regarding yisomin. The hahida hachova, then what's he going to do with bava kama? How does he understand bava kama? Dechiyev Rabbi Yosef Shmua Yesh lomer demari b'tekayetz lehuaniyim. That could be where it was actually fixed for the needy. You had a set group of needy people, and they were the ones who were going to receive such and such a sum. Vavi kamoshev kidu aniyim ba'atzmav. It's as though the needy people had given it to this fellow to guard for them. Aval sha'art staka shari, but not true for general staka funds. So in other words, what the Mordechai is saying here is that staka funds in general are not subject to the laws of ribis if they haven't been designated for particular aniyim. And the reason is because ribis doesn't apply to hekdesh. We treat this as hekdesh money. The Beis Yosef in Choshen Mishpat.
Is it because it's hekdesh, or is it because it's a corporate entity?
It's hekdesh. Not, we'll get to the corporate entity. This is not his heter. His heter is hekdesh. The Beis Yosef in Choshen Mishpat Reish Chazayin, which we saw regarding Onah, said the same thing from Rav Haigon, that there's no Onah on tzedakah because it is like hekdesh. I gave shir on this. This was one of my Onah topics. He applies it even to ribis kitzutza. We saw that already in this Mordechai here. Note that he also brings our Yerushalmi about tzedas mitzvah as apparently separate support. But the argument against is, what are you talking about? The argument against is tzedakah is not hekdesh. Hekdesh means not property of corporate entity, whatever, being used for a nice purpose. Hekdesh means it has the Beis HaMikdash's name on it. Hekdesh means that if you touch it, you're in Me'ilah territory. Hekdesh doesn't mean, you know, something that is being held to give to people in fulfillment of a mitzvah. So the argument against is, what are you talking about, essentially? Aside from the Kayetz Lehulaniyim, from Bava Kama, which the Abiyazri brought in that Mordechai. It is very hard to call this hekdesh. But the third argument is the corporate argument. The third argument for why staka funds can go is the Rashba's argument, which is the Torah only prohibits where ribis money goes from love to malve. And here there is no malve. And this takes us back in our minds to the Yesomim and the Apotropos. Because the Gabbai doesn't own it, and no particular proper owns it. It's not Kayetz Lehulaniyim. That's the argument. I brought you a couple of Shuvas of the Rashba that deal with this, to see his language. First one is in Source Chavav. Sha'al Da'od, Amas Samchu Achshav Lahavos Mo Shal Talmud Torah Beribis LeYisrael. What is the basis for lending money that's been collected for tzedakah, for Talmud Torah, to lend it out for ribis? Tshuva, Esher Hayalidin Lahatir Kevin She'ein HaRibis Bami Lova Lamalva She'ein Lamamon Zeh Bailim Yiduim. There aren't any known owners. I'm not reading the rest of the Rashba yet. We're going to come back to it. But he says there are no known owners. Similarly, in Chav Zayin, Sheila, Mos, Shabiyada, Kizbarim, Sheik, Dishum, Bailim, Laniyim, Immutter, Lavos, and Baribis, O Lav, Tshuva, Shuras, Hadin, Nirali, Lahalacha, Shemutter. Shalo, Asra, Tara, Ella, Ribis, Haba, Miyad, Lova, Lamalva, Vikani, Kamalva. There is no Malva. There is no owner. So he says, letter of the law, I think this is fine. One of the tshuvos that originally was thought to be the Ramban. So when they deal with this issue of whether you can lend out the tzedakah money and all, they say, look, it's the Rashba and the Ramban who says this. But then you find out that it's the Rashba. It's the Rashba and the Rashba. But that's his heter. Why should not having Bailim work?
So the two Ramban aren't, isn't it? Isn't the other way? It's true.
No, I think it really is the Rashba, which people thought was the Ramban. Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the case. Yeah. What's the logic here behind this working? So two different views. The first view is the Ma'arit. The Ma'arit says it's because the ownership is weak. Take a look at Source Chavches. V'nira de lo amra harash bazal ela ba'aniyim de lo zachi v'lo kayetz lo de mamon shein lo tovim havi. He says it's not theirs. doesn't belong to the aniyim, and it's money that doesn't have a toveya. There is no one to claim it. Kigona hit l'shmav l'chalik l'aniyim like Bava Kama. The l'chalik l'chaniyim. One second. No, it's along the lines of that idea in Bava Kama. It's just a rejected because there is kaitz l'aniyim. It's as opposed to the conclusion of Bava Kama.
The conclusion of Bava Kama is the low kaitz.
Was the kaitz,
and therefore I as a shomer am liable.
Correct.
But now you're saying that the low kai flew, and therefore I can lend it as a repeat because an ani can't have a personal claim for
correct.
A repeat.
Correct. That's right. He can read his next words.
Isn't that make, okay?
Diachol lechalik lechol aniim sheyirtze. Because the gabbai, if he chose, he'd give it to any pauper he wanted. Right. That's the idea. That's the way that the Ma'arit reads it. It's like hektish money in that sense.
Sure.
The Nesiva Shalom has a little bit of a discussion about this. Trying to read this into the Rashba as well. He believes that the Rashba seems to take this view personally. The Mishnah Lamelech has another idea. He says that's not why it works. Take a look at Chavtes. Va'oda yanirali da'afilum timtzalomer de bedinei adam chayav l'shalim. Even if you will tell me that if you damage Hektish, you have to pay in a court, right, in Beis Din. Avagad davi mamon shein lo tovim. Even though Hektish money has no one to claim it. So you see, there is such a thing as liability for it. Hacha gabe ribis shari mishum desha'ani mazik. He says, mazik is different. When you damage something, that's a different story altogether. The avagav davi mal she'elo tovim mikomakam are hipsed as haniyim. Because even if it's money that no individual could claim, you cause the paupers a loss, mishum achichayev. Aval hacha, but here, kevan she'ein bish'as halva mal ve'yadua. The key for us is there is no known lender. Amichal ha'isr. So who's going to have the isr? V'lo karinim be'yas kas v'chalo sitin lo b'nesha. Who has violated the pasuk? No one. It's like what we said before with the Yisomim. There is no malve. That's the argument. Yeah. Let me finish this up because we're going to run out of time. The Chavis Das thought that was very funny. He said, absolutely not. The Chavis Das says, I didn't put it on the sheet, but it's Kufsamach Biurim Yud. He says, you don't need a malve for it to be usur. Right? He says, imagine a case in which somebody came into my property, took my money without asking, and lent it out, and set ribis kitzutza. Right? And then the guy he lent it to came back to me and said, you know, thank you so much for this loan, and here is, or he can't say thank you, so ribis kitzutza he can do, but he can't do ribis varm. He said, here
thank
is,
you, but not so much.
Thank you. But he comes to me and gives me the ribis kitzutza. Is there any Beis Din that's going to say I'm allowed to keep that money? The Chavis Das says, of course not. It doesn't matter that there was no malve. You can't do that. Now, I would go back and ask the Chavis Das a question then. What about the view that the Lovez Isser is only an outgrowth of the Malvez Isser that we talked about before from that Tosfos? Then it does sound like
the Bosman do allow thanking, though.
He isn't
the owner of the money
because he doesn't owe the money. Correct. Nonetheless, in any case, many Rishonim, like the Rush and the Gedulei Truma, the Rush I brought you in Lamed, say that no, we reject the approach of the Rush regarding Ein Lo Bailim, and we reject the entire heter beginning to end.
In the remote
they I'm not at that yet. That's correct. The Rosh and the Gedulei Truma disagree with the whole approach of Ein Lo Bailim. Take a look at Source Lamed. He says, Alright, that's a whole different parsha. That's Gavoah. Avol hektish shebizman hazeh shul aniyim lo talmud Torah ha'aniyim batamidim echval achicha im v're'eyuim. He says, you can't tell me that that's not people owned.
They don't look at the owners, they look at the technical owners, they look at the beneficiaries.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hektish. But he doesn't like this whole idea, and the Ein Lo Bailim thing does not impress the Rosh. It doesn't impress the Yilei Truma, and in practice, it didn't impress the Rashba very much either. The Rashba didn't want people to use this. If you go back to those tshuvas that I quoted in Chavav Chavzayin, after the bold in Chavav, he says, Ela she'ein roi lasos kein, ki pen yipetu geder b'zeh amakom. He says, they're going to mess up if they do that. Why? Acher she'yesh malvin lefarnes haktanim v'atalmidim shebe mekomam, because they already engage in loans to support minors, to support people who study Torah. They support them that way, and you're going to start them on doing ribbis with those loans. It's going to be inappropriate. And in Chav Zayin, he says he doesn't want them to do it either. He ends with Ula Halacha Amarti Velo Lamaisa. I never intended this to be done in practice. So the Rashba doesn't like it. The Chavaz Das says don't rely on it. The Ma'arit says to be strict in this Machlokas as well. Did I bring you the Ma'arit? I brought the Ma'arit in Lamed Aleph. He doesn't want you to use it either. I'm going to have to stop with that, which is really unfortunate, but I'm going to at least mention one other topic. I'm not going to get through a Moshe. But I'll say one other thing outside that's just worth knowing about. Would this have to apply if the money has not been given to the Gabbai yet, but the Gabbai is going to be the one to lend it out? I didn't like it based on the Mishneh Lemelech where the donor is still holding the funds. But what about where the Gabbai is going to lend it out? You'll say to me, why would that happen? I'll tell you why that would happen. You have an endowment fund where the capital remains untouchable, but the proceeds go to tzedakah. So as the Gabbai, he's not holding anything, right? The fund is still in, you know, separate
it's
from
not really in the donors.
It could be in the donors. It depends who.
That assumes that the donor ultimately has a right to take back,
which
money
may well be the case. I mean, you could have a
that's
case
called
like
a charitable lead trust.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to say about the nuances of it.
No, 100%. But that's interesting. But basically, what you would assume is that I have the right to take back that money because I, as the donor, still own it.
Right. So that's part of the question. But I'm going to stick to the case at hand with it. But you're right. So the Mishneh Lemelech says that in a case like that, the proceeds belong to the donor. The Machaneh, meaning it's really his money that he's then giving to tzedakah. The Machaneh Ephraim explains that the reason why is because the donor, you talk about irrevocable and revocable.
Right.
He says it's because the donor could be shoal on the neder. So therefore, he can revoke it at any point. So on that basis, the Ma'arit says there's no ribbis problem if the Gabbai lends it out, because the Gabbai is not the Baal. But others disagree, and for opposite reasons. The Mishneh Lemelech says that this doesn't work because the Gabbai is the shaliach of the donor. And this goes back to our question in the beginning of the status of the Gabbai. He says the Gabbai is the shaliach of the donor, and therefore it's a third-party loan that's actually happening. Whereas the Chavaz Das says, no, that's not why you can't do it. You can't do it because the donor is not receiving the proceeds. And therefore, this money has already gone to the Aniyim. And the Aniyim, therefore, are the Bailim. And therefore,
so it's either because it's the donor is the Bailim or because
the Aniyim are the Bailim. Exactly.
But
the fact that
you have a structure of rebate here, which can't be.
And he says the fact that the Aniyim can't spend the capital is simply a tenai of the gift. It's not like it makes them not the owners of the interest. They are the owners of the interest, and they are the owners of the capital. And just there's a rule in the gift, just like you can be masna on stock in general. I can give somebody money and say, you can spend it for this, you can't spend it for that, reserving rights. That's what has happened essentially here, but he doesn't even recognize it as the right of the owner, it's all the right of the recipient. The bottom line at the end of the day is that the grounds to permit ribbis kitsutsa are not relied upon, but you could have a heter for a vak ribbis for tzarech mitzvah. There was one last point that I had wanted to get to, which neither I will record an audio for and send you the link for it, because it's too good to not discuss. And that's the discussion of credit unions, in which members pay in, and then they get a loan back from the credit union. And is that a ribbis problem because of the dues that they pay, or the dues that they paid in the past, or that they even may be paying now? Might that be ribbis, and a unique way to approach it from Rav Shlomo Zalman? So that, God willing, will be an audio that I'll send out the link for.